You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ Jesus, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal life, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. And we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 143. And in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 2. We will pick up at number 7, where we left off yesterday. Jesus and Iscariot and Dothan, the cure of Issachar. Issachar invited Jesus and all his followers to stay that night at his house and, after the exercises of the synagogue, to dine with him. Jesus accepted the invitation and then went to preach in the synagogue. Toward the end of his discourse, the Pharisees and Sadducees began to strive against him. From the explanation of Abraham's marriage with Keturah, he had come to speak of marriage itself. The Pharisees broached that of Issachar and Salome. They declared it insane in a man so sick and old to marry a young woman. Jesus replied that the couple had married in obedience to the law, and he asked, how could they, who held so strictly to the same, blame them? They answered by asking how he could look upon such a union as prescribed by the law, since so old and sick a man could hope for no blessing on his marriage. Consequently, such an affair was no other than a scandal. Jesus responded, his faith has preserved to him the fruit of wedlock. Do ye set limits to the almighty power of God? Has not the sick man married in obedience to the law? In trusting in God and believing that he will help him, he has done excellently well. But this is not the cause of your indignation. Ye hoped that this family would die out for want of heirs, and then ye would get their property into your own hands. Then he cited the example of many devout old people whose faith had been rewarded with posterity, and said many other things upon the subject of matrimony. The Pharisees were furious, but had not a word in reply. The Sabbath over, Jesus left the synagogue and, accompanied by the disciples, went to Issachar's, where a grand banquet had been prepared for him. Jesus, the disciples related to him, and Issachar himself sat at one table while Salome, the wife, came and went doing the honors of the same. The other disciples ate in a side hall. Previously to sitting down, Jesus had healed several sick. It was dusk, and the miracles were performed by torchlight outside the synagogue and near Issachar's dwelling, where the sick had gathered. I saw among the disciples Judas Iscariot, Bartholomew, and Thomas, also an own brother and a stepbrother of the last, named Thomas, who had two stepbrothers. They had come thither for the Sabbath from Aphekah, 7 hours distant, and they put up Issachar's, Thomas being well known to him on account of his commercial pursuits. Though he had acquaintances among the disciples, he had never yet spoken to Jesus, for he was anything but obtrusive. James the Less also had come from Capernaum for the Sabbath. Likewise, Nathanael, the son of the widow Anna, eldest daughter of Cleophas, who was now living with Martha. Nathanael was the youngest of her sons, engaged to Zebedee's fishery. He was about 20 years old, gentle and amiable, with something of the appearance of John. He had been reared in the house of his grandfather and was nicknamed Little Cleophas. In order to distinguish him, the other Nathanaels, I learned that on the Sabbath, when I heard Jesus say, call Little Cleophas to me. The entertainment consisted of birds, fish, honey, and bread. They were in the city numbers of pigeons, turtle doves, and colored birds, which ran like hens around the houses and often took flight to the beautiful plain of Jezreel. During the meal, Issachar spoke of Mary. He recalled the fact of her having been in that house in her youth and said that his wife's parents had been related the circumstance, telling how young and beautiful and pious she was. He expressed the hope that God, who had cured him through Joseph's son, he guessed not his Savior's origin, would likewise give him posterity. All the disciples found hospitality at his house. There were large open porticos around it on which beds were prepared for them, separated from one another by movable partitions. Of the Dothanites, some were very good and some very bad. An account of the antique style of its houses, Dothan compared with the other cities in its neighborhood as Cologne with other German towns. Next morning, when Jesus and the disciples went to walk outside the city, Thomas approached and begged Jesus to admit him to the number of his disciples. He promised to follow him and fulfill all his commands, for, as he said, by his preaching and by the miracles he had witnessed, he was convinced of the truth of what John and all the disciples of his acquaintances had said about him. He begged also to be a part of his kingdom. Jesus replied that he was no stranger to him and that he knew that he, Thomas, would come to him. But Thomas would not subscribe to that. He asserted that he had never before thought of taking such a step, for he was no friend of novelty, and had only now determined upon it, since he was convinced of his truth by his miracles. Jesus responded, "Thou speakest like Nathanael. Thou dost esteem thyself wise, and yet thou talkest foolishly. Shall not the gardener know the trees of his garden, the vine dresser his vines? Shall he set out a vineyard, and not know the servants whom he sends into it?" Then he related a similitude of the cultivation of figs upon thorns. Two of John's disciples who had been sent to Jesus by the Baptist had an interview here with Jesus, and then returned to Macarius. They had been present at the sermon on the mountain near Meroz, and had witnessed the miracles there performed. They belonged to the disciples that had followed their master to the place of his imprisonment and had received his instructions outside his prison. They were warmly attached to him, as they had never witnessed any of Jesus' actions. John had sent them to him that they might be convinced of the truth of what he himself had told them of him. He commissioned them to beg Jesus in his name, to declare openly and precisely who he was, and to establish his kingdom on earth. These disciples told Jesus that they were now convinced of all that John had announced of him. They inquired whether he would not soon go to free John from prison. John, they said, hoped to be released through him, and they themselves were longing for him to establish his kingdom and set their master at liberty. They thought they would be a more profitable miracle than even his curing the sick. Jesus replied that he knew that John was longing and hoping soon to be freed from imprisonment, and that he should indeed be released, but that he should go to Macarius and deliver John, who had prepared his ways. John himself never even dreamed. Jesus ended by commanding them to announce to John all that they had seen and say to him that he would fulfill his mission. I do not know whether John was aware that Jesus was to be crucified, and that his kingdom was not to be an earthly one. I think that he thought Jesus, after converting and freeing the people, would establish a holy kingdom upon earth. Toward noon, Jesus and his disciples returned to the city and to Issachar's, where many people were already assembled. The mistresses and domestics were busy preparing the noonday meal. Back of the house was a charming spot in the center of which was a beautiful fountain, surrounded by summer houses. The fountain was regarded as sacred, for it had been blessed by Eliseus. There was a handsome chair nearby for the preacher's use, and around it, enclosed space with shade trees in which quite a number might assemble for instructions. Several times in the year, especially at Pentecost, public instructions were given here. There were, besides, in the region of the fountain, places with long stone walls or narrow terraces, where caravans and the crowds going to Jerusalem at the Paschal time could rest and take refreshments. Issachar's house stood near enough to command a view of the fountain and its surroundings. The arrangements of the resting place and the customs observed there were also superintended from Issachar's, where a kind of freight business was carried on. The caravans unloaded and unpacked their goods here for Issachar to forward to other places, and very frequently the merchants and their servants received hospitality at his house. Although it was not a public inn, Issachar's business was like that of the father of the bride of Cana in Galilee. The beautiful fountain had one inconvenience. It was so deep that the water could be pumped only with great fatigue. When pumped up, it ran into basins standing around. There were crowds assembled around the fountain on the invitation of Jesus and Issachar. Jesus, from the teacher's chair, delivered a discourse to the people on the fulfillment of the promise, the nearness of the kingdom on penance and conversion, and of the way to implore the mercy of God and to receive his graces and miracles. He alluded to Eliseus, who had formerly taught in that same place. The Syrians sent to him to take prisoner were struck with blindness. Then Eliseus conducted them to Samaria into the hands of their enemies, but far from allowing them to be put to death. He entertained them hospitably, restored their sight, and sent them back to their king. Jesus applied this to the Son of Man and the persecution he endured from the Pharisees. He spoke also for a long time of prayer and good works related to the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and told his hearers that they ought to adorn and perfume themselves on the fast days, instead of parading their piety before the people. The inhabitants of this place, who were very much oppressed by the Pharisees and Sadducees, were greatly encouraged by Jesus' teaching. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, on the contrary, were enraged upon seeing the joyous multitude and hearing the words of Jesus. Their rage increased when they beheld Issachar in perfect health, going around among the people, joyfully helping the disciples and his own servants to distribute food to them as they seated themselves along the stone benches. This sight so exasperated them that they stormed violently against Jesus. It looked as if they were about to take him into custody. They began again to rail at his curing on the Sabbath. Jesus bade them listen to him calmly. He placed them in a circle around him and, making use of his customary argument, said to the chief among them, "If on the Sabbath you should happen to fall into the well here, would you not wish to be drawn out at once?" And so he continued to speak until they slunk back, covered with confusion. After this, Jesus left the city with several of his disciples and descended into the valley that runs from south to northwest of Dothan. Issachar had distributed large alms in Dothan and sent along to the inn of the little community asses with various necessaries. The provisions and beverages provided by the disciples, and which had become somewhat stale, he caused to be exchanged for better. He gave to each of them a cup like those used at Cana, and a flat jug or pitcher made of white material with a ring by which it could hang. The stoppers were a kind of sponge tightly compressed. The jugs contained a refreshing drink made of balm. He gave, likewise, to each disciple a sum of money for alms and other necessities. Judas Iscariot and many other disciples returned from Dothan to their own homes. Jesus kept with him only nine, among whom were Thomas, James the Less, Jude, Barsabbas, Simon Thaddeus, little Cleophas, Nathanael, Menahem, and Saturnin. After Jesus' departure, the Pharisees recommenced their mockery and insults. They said to the people, "One can easily see who he is. He has allowed himself to be sumptuously entertained by Issachar. His disciples are a set of lazy vagrants whom he supports and feasts at the expense of others. If he did right, he would stay at home and support his poor mother. His father was a poor carpenter. But that respectable calling does not suit him, and so he goes wandering around, disturbing the whole country." While Issachar was distributing his alms, he constantly repeated, "Help yourself freely, take freely. It is not mine, it belongs to the Father in heaven. Thank him, for it is only lent to me." This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just read and what we have just listened to. So the bulk of our reading yesterday was kind of what encompassed the title, The Healing of Issachar. And so today we hear in the reading the aftermath of the healing of Issachar, Jesus teaching and the people's perception of this healing of Issachar, the fact that people do not like Issachar, that they don't like this age discrepancy between the two. There's also John the Baptist, who's brought up again, and people want Jesus to go set John the Baptist free. They thought that if Jesus would go and do that, that he would establish his kingdom. You know, I think maybe one of the big things we walk away with is just what we heard at the very end today. The fact that people really are trying to discredit the Lord. That he is, you know, just this vagrant with a group of vagrants around him. That they are taking advantage of people. Even the reference to his mother. He would stay, if he did right, he would stay at home and support his poor mother. His father was a poor carpenter. Well, even if they were monetarily poor, we know that they were truly rich in what the Lord God bestowed upon them. The reality is people are helping Jesus because they're grateful. They've been nourished by his word. They've been recipients of his healings. You know, in the Psalms, it says, what return can we make to the Lord? And this is the simple return that they wish to make. And so we become grateful people because we have received the teachings of Jesus, because we have been recipients of his grace. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.